Hello, friends. Happy Good Friday. It's April the 10th, 2020, and it is Good Friday. I hope you're enjoying this special day. I hope you're enjoying Holy Week, having an opportunity to return to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to revisit the Passion of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, and His resurrection. Today, I wanted to share with you from John chapter 19, verse 30. In that one verse, Jesus makes this very powerful statement, "It is finished." Now that's the English translation of the one ancient word that was used to mean completion. Merchants would use the word on a bill of sale, a certificate, to mean that the amount due had been paid, been satisfied in full. Slaves, servants, and masters use the word in their communication to mean that the servant had completed the work to the master's satisfaction. Priests and shepherds used the word in their search for an animal that was just right for a religious service. They would use that word to indicate that the search is over, the completion had come about, it is finished. So surely Jesus has that concept, completion, in his mind on the cross at about the ninth hour when he cries out, "It is finished." You'll remember that Jesus is there, and we're told that he voluntarily gave his spirit at about the ninth hour. That would be 3 p.m. Our time today, the way we would count it. So Jesus gives up his spirit. He cries out, "It is finished." Well, what can we think about as we consider Jesus' statement there, that very powerful statement? Well, fundamentally, at the very root of what Jesus is saying is that his atoning sacrifice, his work of atonement for human sin was complete. There are other things we could think about. We could think about the beatings, the sufferings of Jesus, the rejections of Jesus. That was complete. The mock trial, the false accusations, that was complete. We can think about the earthly ministry of Jesus, his compassion while he was walking on this planet, that was complete. We could think about all of the sacrifices that pointed towards Jesus, as we read in the Law of Moses, all those animal sacrifices that never permanently took away sin. They all pointed to Jesus. That all had reached completion. The prophecies that pointed towards the Messiah, that had reached fulfillment and completion in Jesus. It is finished. And so we look at the life of Jesus and we find him on that cross and him crying out at that ninth hour that it is finished. His atoning work is finished. He makes that cry as a cry of victory, as a statement, really, of victory. Jesus is not a victim. He's a victor. Satan had done all he could to derail the ministry of Jesus, to upset God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ, but Satan has been defeated. Jesus is the victor. All of the work is complete. Well, what does that mean for us today? Friend, you surely have experienced many religious groups in this world that may claim Jesus on the one hand, but they want to add to Jesus on the other hand. Fundamentally, they're saying that Jesus is not sufficient. His work on the cross is not sufficient. They're saying you need Jesus for sure, but you need to be a member of our group. You need Jesus for sure, but you need to be baptized or go through some ritual into our particular group. Not into Jesus, not into Christ, but into our group. You not only need Jesus, you need to accomplish a certain kind of work. You need to perhaps partake in a Eucharist or some sort of religious act or say a certain number of prayers. But you need Jesus, but you need this other also. You need to add to Jesus. Some groups ignore Jesus altogether, never think about him. It's optional one way or the other. But then there are others that would say, yes, you need Jesus, but you need to have our standard as well added to Jesus. Now, this is just opposed to and contrary to what Jesus himself is saying, the word that came across his lips on the cross, completion. It is complete. It is finished. What is happening when groups make those kinds of statements is they're saying that Jesus is really not sufficient. That work is not sufficient. They may not be as so bold as to say that, but that's what's being said, is that his work's not sufficient. Something more needs to be added to that. That, my friend, is just at odds with what Jesus Christ himself is saying. So what does this mean for practical living? What does it mean for our life? Well, when a person, you or I, when someone comes to faith in Christ, by faith, we reach out and we grab hold of Jesus. We're reaching out and we're grabbing hold of that atoning sacrifice of Jesus. We're laying our sins on Jesus, where Jesus took the wrath of God, the punishment of God, the judgment of God, so that we don't have to, that we escape that because of Jesus. When we, by faith, reach out and grab hold of Jesus like that, we can be assured, we can have confidence that that work of Jesus is satisfactory to God. We, therefore, are satisfactory to God. It's not by anything that we have done ourselves. It's all what Jesus himself has done. We've reached out by faith. We grab a hold of him. We lay our sins on Jesus. That judgment on our sins has taken place. It's satisfactory to God. God's justice is satisfied. The atoning work of the Son of God is completed. We are satisfactory to God. You, my friend, can rest knowing that you have satisfaction with God. You are pleasing to God because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is finished. There's nothing more to be added. There's nothing that you or I could add. The all-sufficient Christ has died for sin. There's nothing that can be added to that situation. So you can rest. Here's the next thing. You and I can move on to living the Christian life. Many people go through life burdened that they somehow will not measure up to God. They wonder what will happen at the moment of physical death. Will I measure up? Will God receive me? Some don't, as I say, think of it at all. But many in this world wonder. They may be a part of many different religious affiliations, but they wonder, will I be acceptable to God? Will I have eternal life with God? Or will I go through eternity being judged because of my failings, my shortcomings, my sins before God? Will I be acceptable? You can have confidence, concrete, real-world confidence that you will be acceptable to God, not, my friend, because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has done. That's the glory of the gospel. The only activity that we have in this work is reaching out by faith to grab hold of Jesus. Jesus has done all of the work. Nothing that we have can complement that, can add to it, add to the perfection of Jesus. So we can go ahead and continue and move forward in living the Christian life, living a joyful Christian life, and learning what it means to move in new directions, setting aside the old, living in newness of life, living to be more like Christ, responding to situations in the world that in a different way than we did in the past. We can focus, my friend, on living and not be burdened by whether or not we ultimately will measure up or in some way satisfy God's righteous demands. We will never do that ourselves. Jesus did that. We lay hold of him by faith. That's a great encouragement to me, perhaps to you today. We are secure in Christ. And if you've never reached out and grabbed a hold of Jesus Christ by faith, this would be a perfect day for you to do that. And then move forward, living the Christian life, living differently, a different quality of life. Not a perhaps pain-free life. God didn't promise that. But a different quality of life all the same. Moving forward, and that can be very freeing. Setting aside the past, moving into the future, knowing we're secure. And we, by virtue of Christ, the atoning work of Jesus, we are acceptable to God. Now that's a great encouragement to me this Good Friday. I hope it's an encouragement to you as well. Plan to join us on Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Enjoy this Good Friday. God bless.